How do you preach repentance to good people? In today's gospel, we find Jesus in Jerusalem. He has just aroused the attention and the suspicion of the religious authorities in Jerusalem by entering the city mounted on a donkey and acclaimed by the crowds. And if that were not enough, he then enters the temple and drives out those who are buying and selling there. Jesus has announced himself in Jerusalem as a profoundly disruptive force. And he begins to teach in the temple. This is the context of the controversy between Jesus and the chief priests that we hear described in today's gospel. And today's gospel sees the return of John the Baptist. We normally associate John the Baptist with the beginning of the story of Jesus. He comes before Jesus. And his appearance here towards the end of Jesus' earthly ministry is a little surprising, not least because he has now already been dead for some time. Of course, for Christians, Jesus and John the Baptist are two very different characters. John is the voice crying in the wilderness. Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. But we shouldn't overlook what they have in common. Both preached a message of repentance. And both found that it was the people on the margins who were the most responsive to their message. It was the people of lowest status. It was the people who lacked respectable morality who heard them and responded to their call. And there is no escaping this theme in Matthew's gospel. Jesus is found again and again with disreputable outsiders. They have a special place in his ministry. He says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." And they respond simply and sincerely to his call to repentance. And the same thing seems to have been true of John the Baptist, as Jesus says to the chief priests, "John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." Repentance seems simultaneously to be something very simple and something very complicated. There are some situations in which it is relatively straightforward. We've probably all now and again said or done something that we know to be bad, and we feel the need to apologize and to do what we can to make it good. There are situations in which the need for repentance is obvious. We know what we need to do. There are situations in which the negative consequences of our actions are so obvious that the need for repentance is clear. The simplest example I can think of, particularly thinking of a cricketer who's made the news in recent weeks, the simplest example I can think of is that of a hangover. A situation I'm sure that none of you have ever experienced. But take it from me, after a night of heavy drinking, you wake up the next morning feeling awful, your head aching, your body sweating, your mind full of memories of stupid and sometimes hurtful and damaging things you said and did the night before. And still worse is that restless paranoia that there may be yet worse things that you cannot quite remember. And in this situation, repentance comes very naturally. You look in the mirror, you tell yourself, "Never again," and you are perfectly sincere about it.